From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Desperation is growing in Pakistan. Flood survivors blocking a highway in southern Sindh province, angry aid's not getting to them sooner. 20 million people have been affected since a monsoon hit over 2 weeks ago and touched off the worst floods in recent memory. The UN says up to 3.5 million children are now at high risk of contracting potentially deadly waterborne diseases. Shrimpers in Louisiana are returning to the Gulf of Mexico. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports the state has lifted a ban imposed because of BP's oil spill.
It's opening day of sorts for Louisiana shrimpers. State waters are open again after being closed this summer. A group of fishermen made a test run around Grand Isle and Barataria Bay late last week, and their catch showed no signs of oil. The fear of contaminated seafood has driven down consumption, so shrimpers are worried that they won't be able to get a good price for their catch. State and federal inspectors are checking the seafood for oil. Louisiana is the nation's number one producer of shrimp, blue crab, crawfish, and oysters. While commercial shrimpers can return to state fisheries, federal waters remain closed in an area stretching from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates will step down next year at a time when the U.S. is expected to draw down troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. The Republican who served during the Bush administration was asked to stay on by President Obama. Foreign Policy's Fred Kaplan broke the story about Gates' planned departure. He spoke to NPR about the unique mark the defense secretary is leaving.
Gates has not just supervised, but I think accelerated and encouraged the shift in policy of today's military away from what used to be called major combat operations, like, you know, a big war against the Soviet Union in Europe, to ones of asymmetrical conflicts against rogue states and insurgents. And yet, you know, he fully understands that his legacy will be measured by the outcomes of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Kaplan on his interview with Gates, published today in Foreign Policy magazine. An investigation is underway into a plane crash on a Colombian island in the Caribbean. The jetliner was carrying 131 passengers. One person died. Several were hurt. Authorities say they're surprised the death toll wasn't higher. They say the Itis line broke into three pieces as it landed on San Andres Island. Colombian Air Force Colonel David Barrero says the crash may have been caused by a lightning strike. Last check on Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 13 points at 10,360, NASDAQ up 14 at 2188. This is NPR News. China is now the world's second largest economy. It surpassed Japan, which today announced its economy hit $1.28 trillion in the second quarter, slightly under China's $1.33. Urgent repairs on the International Space Station are complete. Astronauts conducted another spacewalk today to hook up a new ammonia pump to help get the outpost cooling system back in business. It's been operating at only half its normal capability since the end of July. Astronauts Tracy Caldwell Dyson and Douglas Wheelock made the repairs. NASA says the installation of a pump the size of a bathtub was one of the most challenging in the space station's 12 years. The idea of love growing out of friendship appears to be taking on a whole new form. NPR's Jennifer Ludden tells us about a new study that finds online dating could soon surpass friends as the most common way to find a romantic partner.
Friends have been society's prime matchmakers since they displaced parents back in the 1940s. But Michael Rosenfeld of Stanford University says their influence is now rivaled by the internet. His latest study finds nearly a quarter of romantic partners meet online, and that's easing a social stigma.
It used to be that people who met online had a separate story that they thought was more palatable. It seemed a little seedy and unseemly. And for some reason, people used to think that it was more upstanding to say I met them in a bar.
Rosenfeld says the smaller the dating pool, the more important a role the internet plays. His study finds a whopping 60% of same-sex couples meet online. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington. Support.